be the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell all the angels in chorus, sing. Tell of the cross where they nailed him. Tell that he paid for my sin. Tell of the cross where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Told in that story. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Gentlemen, we are so very pleased you have chosen to join us for this presentation of Stories of the Savior.
My colleagues and I have been discussing the birth of Jesus, and we have decided it doesn't really start in the New Testament.
Quite right, you see. It actually started at the beginning.
So that is where our presentation is going to begin. At the beginning.
Yes, at creation, to be exact. You may be wondering, what does the birth of Jesus have to do with creation?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:1-4.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14.
Let's hear what some of our younger friends can teach us about creation.
Bye.
Well, that was unexpected, but enjoyable.
That tune was familiar. I would like to back up just a bit, though. I want to talk specifically about the people who were created on the sixth day of creation.
Yes, of course. Adam and Eve.
Then the Lord, her God, formed man of dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Genesis 2:7.
And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he has taken from the man, and brought her to the man. Genesis 2:22.
When the woman saw that the tree was...
Why bring them up in a Christmas presentation?
Yes, why are we bringing them up?
Well, it all started with them. They're the first story of the Savior.
When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was a delight to the eyes, it was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Genesis 3:6.
And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid myself." He said, "Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Genesis 3:8-13.
Yes, but by the disobedience, the human race now needed a Savior. That's why we wanted to do this presentation today.
Our presentation is called Stories of the Savior because we are sharing about different people in the Bible and their story of the Savior.
Exactly. I have this church to help us along the way.
Fancy.
I know.
So, who's next?
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, "I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:5-8.
story of the Savior.
For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:37-39.
For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison who once are disobedient. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18-21.
So Adam and Eve have a story, and so does Noah. Who else?
We are going to move on to Abraham.
I love this song. Father Abraham had many sons.
No, we are not going to sing that song.
Maybe this song would be more appropriate to help us understand Abraham's story.
Of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Genesis 22:18.
And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Galatians 3:29.
The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew 1:1.
Jesus came from the bloodline of Abraham.
So Abraham is Jesus' great parent.
I guess you can say it like that.
But they also say that Jesus came from the line of David. Should we go on to him next?
Only a little sling. raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will from the offspring of this man, according to promise God has brought to Israel, Savior Jesus. Acts 13:22-23.
Jesus came from the line of David, and that leads up to the actual birth of Jesus.
We skipped a lot of people in the Bible who have stories of the Savior.
Yes, but if we showed every one of them, we maybe still be presenting them till Jesus came the second time. So we decided just to show a few.
That makes sense. I'm starting to get hungry.
We are going to move on to the people who had a personal story of the Savior.
There are many people who have stories that directly relate to the birth of Jesus.
Let's start with Mary's story. She is the best place to start when we're discussing the actual birth of Jesus.
Her story was a deeply personal one.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 29.
And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Luke 1:30-33.
Mary's story starts with her being told that she had been chosen to be mother of the Savior.
That truly is an amazing story.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby one day rule the nation.
John's story.
John's story started before he was even born.
But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he is great in the sight of the Lord, he will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God." Luke 1:13-16.
And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1:17.
Now at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Luke 1:39-44.
John's story of the Savior continues, but that will have to be for another presentation.
Right you are. We're just talking about the stories of the Savior as they have to do with Jesus' birth today.
Joseph's story fits in here.
Joseph was questioning whether he should take Mary as his wife, when an angel came to him in a dream and told him that it would be okay. The angel told him,
"And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21.
And Joseph arose from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife. Matthew 1:24.
Joseph's story is that God chose him to raise his one and only son to be his father here on earth.
That is an incredible story. Can you imagine raising the Son of God as a very young child? The pressure?
And the pleasure, just like it is raising any wonderfully gifted child. We are now going to move on to the innkeeper.
Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census had been taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke 2:1-7.
That didn't mention an innkeeper.
It does say that Mary gave birth to Jesus and laid him in a manger. Do you know what a manger is?
It's like a trough that animals eat out of.
Where do you usually find troughs that animals eat out of?
In barns.
What's another word for a barn?
A stable.
Someone has to own the stable, don't they?
Yeah.
That is who I'm calling the innkeeper. The innkeeper is the person who owned the stable and where Mary and Joseph stayed and where Jesus was born.
Right. He had a story of the Savior. He didn't know that by telling Mary and Joseph that they could stay in a stable, that he was giving housing to the Son of God. Wow, what a thought.
Yes, he was able to provide a place to stay for his Savior, and he didn't even know it?
Oh.
the shepherd story fits in also.
In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and in glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." Luke 2:8-12.
And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Luke 2:13-14.
When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened that the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them, Luke 2:15-20.
That didn't mention it.
Into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for them the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Luke 2:27-32.
And there was a prophet named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was according in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then, as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day. He went fasting and prayers at the very moment she came up and began and giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. Luke 2:36-38.
He was actually able to hold the Savior in his arms.
Wow, what an amazing thing for Simeon and Anna to meet the Messiah as a baby boy.
Of course you all know that this presentation is only a beginning story. This is only the beginning of the stories of the Savior.
There are so many people that have a story of the Savior.
Let's share our stories wherever we go. great job. Woo! You know, the message of the story of Christmas was there. It is so clear. And here's the truth. Here's why we want to do this. Here's why these kids put this on. Here's why the parents do this. Here's why the workers do it. Is we all need a Savior. Every one of us here today, every one of us needs to hear this message. You know, I had the privilege of sitting through both of these. And I look at all these beautiful young children. And I look to the future in their lives. And the reality of what's going to go on in their lives is just like in our life, they're going to have trouble along the way. They're going to run into people that are mean and hurtful and prejudiced and horrible people. And sometimes, if we're honest, we've been those mean and ugly and horrible people. Why? Because we're a sinner. And that's the whole purpose of Christmas, that God knew that we needed a Savior. And it was His plan from the foundation of the world to send His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who came into this world, who lived an absolutely sinless, perfect life. And He went to the cross and He bore the penalty that we all deserve. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So the reality is, unless the Lord returns, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Right now, one of our ladies, Cheryl Ellsbury, her sister's in the hospital at St. John's, and I got a text this morning that her sister's not going to make it through the day. So we're all going to die. And we're going to face the judgment. And when that judgment day comes, will I be judged for my sins, or will I have Jesus who has paid for my sins? If I sat there before God and said, hey, here I am. Did the best I could. I did some good in the world and I did some bad. I would not be in heaven because Jesus said you're to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the problem is I'm not perfect. And that's why we have a perfect Savior who went to the cross, who died for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead. And He offers to all who will believe the free gift of eternal life. This church, no church gets you into heaven. No human activity you can do. You can't sit there and say, well, I was baptized, or, you know, I walked the aisle, or I did this, or I signed a card. No. The Lord knows your heart. And we have to come to the place where we as beggars reach out to Him and say, Lord, forgive us. We're sinners. I turn and I give you my life. And not just say the words, but mean it. And when a person does that, they cross over from death into life. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so my prayer is for you, is that you would understand that. There's always three groups of people in a service like this. There's some of you that get it, you know it, and you're grateful. You want to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we should. There's a group of you, a second group, that you know it, but you know what? You're not living it. You maybe were taught it just like these kids. They know it, but they can walk away from it. Because we're sinners, we have the tendency to live a self-absorbed life. And if that's your place right now, I would beg you to be reminded by the message of Christmas that, and of the gospel, that, Lord, I need you every day. Forgive me for living for myself. I turn and I give you my life. And may this be a new start for you. And there's some of you that you've never heard it, never heard this message before. You've heard it, but you've ignored it. You've never surrendered your life. And I would say to you, by faith alone in Jesus, turn your life to Jesus. Confess your sin and say, Lord, I can't do life without you. I give you my life. And if you do that, not only will He change your life, but here's what happens. When you walk with Him, you do have joy in the midst of sorrow. You do have peace in the midst of turmoil. You do know that God has made you for a purpose. You know and you understand the promises of God's word that He works all things together for good for those that love Him who are called according to His purpose. You know that there is a future and a hope for you. And so that's my prayer for you, is that you would understand that. So let the Lord work in your life during this Christmas season. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. And may we as a people go and tell it to the people who need to hear. So I'm going to pray for us right now. Lord, you know every heart. You know the three groups of people. And so, Lord, I pray that you would break into our hearts. Lord, if we know you, may we continue to rejoice in you and live for you. Lord, if we know about you but we're not living for you, Lord, may you arrest our hearts and may we be rekindled in our first love and know that you are King and Master and Lord. And Lord, if there's some here that they don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would make them alive. They were dead in their transgressions. Lord, make them alive through your word. Help them to see that there is a purpose and a reason for life, and you have them. And so I pray that you would open them, their eyes and their hearts. Lord, thank you that you can bring the message of your salvation through these children in song and in word. So do your work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we close, I want to call Becky Copeland out. Becky has been really heading up our Christmas program for the last few years, and her daughter Claire's here, but Becky is retiring. She's got a busy life, and so I say that two reasons. One, to honor you and thank you for your years of service, and I know you're going to be helping out. But also, it's a piece of cake to do this. And so in the years to come, there's a younger generation. And I just think about this. You know, I look out and I see the Dillons out there. And little baby Will is going to be out here one of these days. That's what I call him. And who knows who the Lord will raise up to lead in future generations. But I want to thank you, Becky. And your daughter has a few words for you.
I want to thank you for putting on this play and honoring God.
And thank you also to, there's a army of people that have helped during this time, and I want to thank them as well. We're going to stand and we're going to sing right now.
What we ended this program with, and that's telling the world.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Sing it again.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
While shepherds kept
their watching, for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you for coming out, and for the family and friends that have come out, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for these children. I pray for these children that they're living and growing up in a world that is more difficult, I think, than the world that I grew up in. And so I pray for these parents and grandparents and relatives that we would be wise in the way that we live, that we would continue to point these little ones to Jesus. And Lord, thank you that we have hope, we have a message, we have a purpose in life that is greater than anything that this world offers. So Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Bless this day. And all God's people said, amen.